C2A. Number 7B.
Again, perhaps we can think a little bit about generalities, about general big subject of science, what science wants to achieve, what constitutes a science. We have always seen that the science is that which takes, so to say, an infinite subject and reduces it to simplicity. We take, for instance, all the calculations in the world that are possible, and those first big people, we not even quite know who they were, if they were the Arabs or who, they reduced it to the numeration table of 10 digits and 4 calculations. A terrific achievement. Before that, you know, you couldn't really calculate, but you had naturally calculation, but you didn't know what to do. You still had an exchange of so and so much wheat against meat, a calf, or anything like that. You had to calculate what is value and what is that value. But without a system, you really were at loss how to do it exactly. So when, I don't know if it was Adam Riese or whoever it was that brought arithmetic back to the numeration table, has made a terrific contribution. It has simplified the so-called unlimited to a limited presentation that can be understood and that can be applied. That's one side of a science, to reduce the infinite to a system. The other side of a science is the very opposite way, to take the simple system and apply it infinitely. And so as to go back again to the infinite. That's what we do. We first learn the numeration table, 1 to 10, so 4 calculations. And then afterwards, all through our life, we apply it and use it infinitely in infinite variations. That's what we have to do in science. We are on the first way of seeing that big subject of science and those 600 pages in the textbook, that they can be reduced to a system, to three categories constituting only 7 plus 4 plus 4, 15 root notions, so that is very simple. But we have then to see that if we are a master in that numeration table of Christian Science, with being able how to handle those 15 root notions according to the laws of the three categories, that we have to be aware that we can begin to multiply again. That we can, with those few elements, that we can calculate infinity, just as we have seen it with arithmetic. And this ability to reduce first the infinite to simplicity, we do by training our consciousness into the categories of being, so that we have a categorical form of consciousness, and we think as mind and as spirit and as soul and so on. We think in word, we think in Christ, we think on levels, and that is our training. And we, at the present moment, we are culturing that through the textbook interpretation. And in order to really gain the deeper sense of it and the more crystal clear sense of it, we really can do this, that we take our findings and look at those findings from various angles. Like we did it here, we had first the epitomes of spirit, and then looked at the angle from the word development, from the developing sequence running along the word order. Then we said, I can see that even clearer if I make it quite conscious to my consciousness. What are the negative factors in it, the seven negative factors along that line that try to keep me away from making that clear-cut distinction? And so I can put other questions to it. For instance, here we have also seen that turning away from the material and turning towards the spiritual, Mrs. Eddy always would show somehow that that is a step-by-step process, that that is not in the twinkling of an eye, but that it is a step-by-step process. And so I can say, does she actually say that? Does she actually say that this is a step-by-step process, or does she demand of us that we can achieve that in a single bound, in a single moment, or not? These are very great questions, because very often the student is disillusioned with himself if he can't do it in 1 second, just like that. That's a sign that they have, and they think this is the top, but it isn't the top. There is also a top in the developing sequence, where we are gentle to ourselves and say, yes, we must agree that this cannot be achieved in a second. We can't take heaven by storm. So is it really so that the teaching of the system tells us, go step by step? And so we can go through those seven subtones again and can see what do they say in this regard, in this specific regard. And what do we find there? And I just pinpoint those seven aspects where Mrs. Eddy shows you can't do it just in one go. For instance, in that subtone of mind, she said that Jesus paid at last no homage to forms and doctrine and theories of men. At last. That means that there was a long time before where he didn't. So that's only at last. And it indicates that, for us that also Jesus had to take those step by steps, and only at last he paid no more homage to the theories of men. Can you see that? That indicates that he too had to have a time of unfoldment. In the second subtone, we find that that some go into heaven earlier than the others. That there is actually not so that everyone turns into heaven in the same second. That she says that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before the ritualistic priests. So again, it shows that there are stages which enable us to enter into the spirit sooner or later. Or in the subtone of soul, she says that there is a path from sin to holiness. The moment there is a path, there is not a jump. If we would jump, then there would be no path. We would like to jump into heaven. But Mrs. Eddy says there is a path, and the path already indicates a step-by-step advancement. Or at the point of principle, she says, material belief is slow to acknowledge. Can you see it's slow? That means, again, a time sense, step-by-step working out. It is not the spontaneous, it's not the momentaneous step, but a slow step. In life, she says that we should run with patience the race. So we run, that means step by step, and that we should not even be hasty, but with patience. Patience always indicates a time sense again, that it is done step by step. Or in the subtone of truth, she says that truth must overcome error daily, not the whole at once, just day by day, in your daily speech and conversation. Again, it's showing that you can't do it in a day, and then afterwards there is not such a job anymore to be accomplished. Or in the subtone of life, she says, gaining a little each day. Again, it's indicating it's not taking heaven by storm. Gaining a little each day in the right direction. Till at last we finish. At last, you see, we finish the course we show. Can you see? She started out with mind and said, Jesus at last did not more pay homage to doctrines of men. And shows that everything is a step-by-step unfoldment until finally, at the point of love, she repeats that thing at last and say, we too, at last, will finish our course with joy. Yes? You see what I want to show? I'm not quite sure if you see what I want to show you. It is already beginning, you see, what we said, what the science does. It does not only reduce, but it also begins to enlarge it again. To see that if we have found really the core of a subject, that we can use that numeration table and apply it to specific questions that come up in that very subject. So this very subject is, can we turn away from matter to spirit in one single moment, or is it a time process? Well, to know that is very important for us, because we know these two trains of thought are in each student. Each student said, if I only could jump into heaven and do it in once so that I don't have to do it all over again and again. And the other one is that it says, you can't do it. The right method is not to try to do that. The right method is to do it step by step. And this is a terrific comfort for us. Especially when we then see that she says, and Jesus couldn't do it otherwise either. He only at last paid no more homage to the theories of men. Yes. That's how the way that I would like to introduce to the student that we are not only concerned with just finding epitomes for the text, but also to see that if we can epitomize correctly, that we can begin to work with them and give ourselves answer to questions that we pose over and over. Isn't it amazing that all these questions the student usually asks the teacher, or usually asks the practitioner, or somebody else who he thinks he knows more? He never can see that the answer is in the textbook. You see, this is the terrific thing, and this is what I want to bring out with interpreting the textbook correctly, that the student finds all his answers that he has explicitly interpreted and explained in the textbook. But because he is not really trained in the system, he can't see it when he reads it. He can't see it. It's impossible. But only then, when we really have that consciousness that is cultured in the divine system, that only that consciousness then can see the answers in the textbook. And he doesn't have to go to other people and find the answer. Yes. Okay. Then we go further to the next, to the third big subject, soul. Again, a very simple, straightforward, easy subject. The main epitome, in order that we get the tonality of it, reads, man's unity with soul bestows on us, you can see again, man's unity with soul, we establish that through prayer. If we establish that unity with soul, then that has a Christ within itself. It comes to us. The Christ is always God coming to us. That bestows on us consistency, which leads us safely along the way from sense to soul. Can you see? Spirit said, go the way from matter to spirit. Make a distinction, turn away from matter and go to spirit. But soul comes and says, I give you all those inner qualities that you need, that you actually do go that way, and that you are not giving in. So that you are not that you don't need to retrace your steps constantly. Now soul says, I am definite, I am unchangeable, and I'm that which is balanced. So I give you those qualities that are adapted to that consistency. I give you perseverance. I give you the drive to go on and not back and not to fall back. That's what the soul here wants to give. So that soul really impels within ourselves the steadfastness that we need, the constancy we need, the firmness we need, in order to actually go that way from sense to soul, so that there is no sin that besets us and say, go back. Go back to the flesh pots in Egypt. There you were happy. There you didn't have to struggle and tempt us to go back. So soul gives us that perseverance in going the way. Can you just hear now the very different tone? Spirit said, see that you have to make a distinction and to see from where to where you have to go. That you have to go from a material sense of things to a spiritual sense of things, from a material view to a spiritualization. See the difference from where to where you have to go. Soul comes in and says, I give you the perseverance, the steadfastness, the constancy that you actually can go from here to there. That you can fulfill spirit. You see? So that every new subject is actually linked with the preceding subject. It's not the third subject that has nothing to do with the preceding subject of spirit, but that is, so to say, another link in the chain. And the link in the chain always blends over with the other links. They are not put together like this. They are put together like this, so that there is a flow, a logical flow from one to the next, which says every subject, like soul, really is built on mind and spirit as the pre-necessities of it. And that soul then will lead us to principle, and so that there is a chain of scientific being. Again and again, we just should always do that too, you see, in our pondering work, where we are not looking at words and at the text, but where we are contemplating really the tonality of the word order, and say, we come from spirit. What does it mean? Spirit, to the 100th time I say it, to turn away from a false sense, from God's many, and turn towards the spiritual things, And in order to be able to do that, soul will tell us now that soul is that in the divine nature which gives us the constancy to do it, the perseverance to do it, the steadfastness to do it, the trust to do it. I have also seen that Spirit was showing us that this turning from and to is a kind of a battle within us. I have fought a good fight, but there is that battle that goes on within ourselves, and we must fight a good fight. And soul comes and says, when you fight, when you are in the battle, I, soul, give you the ability to stick to your guns so that you are not running away in the middle of the battle. I give you all that, those qualities which makes you a sticker, so that you are not going back, that you're not giving in, that you are not becoming a sluggard. Yeah. So this is the tone in soul, and actually if you read those 2 pages, all through those 2 pages goes constantly that tonality of steadfastness versus wavering. Well, if you feel that in reading the text, then always do what is helpful to do, you know, use pencil and paper. And make list for yourself, not for the beauty of the list, but I always find this is a very, very good method in order to really, so to say, inscribe in our heart, in our consciousness, a tonality of something. In seeing that if we go through a text and always find that certain qualities repeat themselves and repeat themselves and repeat themselves, then one has a feeling, well, that which is quantitatively predominant is the quality of that subject. So if quantitatively we constantly find terms in a text that always bring out that sense of the steadfastness of soul, or the counterfeit of it, the swerving sense, the wavering sense, then I say to myself, is it actually so? In order to prove it to me through the text, I take pencil and paper and I make a list of these terms. And I think you will be very much helped by doing that. And so, because I believe in that human method, in that method, in that textual method, in that interpretation method, I will always this week really first give you a whole list of those ideas that are characteristic for the subject and are found in the text. They are not made up by me. If, for instance, we read the text, you find about a dozen positive renderings that always give that sense of soul. And so if I read them, if I write them out and afterwards read them through and ponder them and hear them, that helps to get the spiritual hearing of it, the spiritual tonality of it. She says textually in here, that we have to pursue the course. That we have to, just listen to that constancy and perseverance, that we have to pursue the course, that we have to make vigorous effort, that we have to occupy till I come. Be not weary in well-doing. Go not back to error. Do not become a sluggard in your race. You must have constant self-immolation. Work out your own salvation among fear and trembling. Can you see it? Work it out in spite of everything. Be firm, be constant. Can you see? These are about 2, 4, 6, 8, about 10, 12 positive terms within only 2.5 pages that give us the key and the tonality. Now I have to be persevering, I have to go forward, and I have to go forward. I cannot go back, I cannot become a sluggard, I have to be a sticker and be steadfast in that truth. Can you see a wonderful quality that is brought out? So they have a sense of persistency, determination, of steadfastness. This is all what we need in our lives. These are qualities which we need in our job, which we need in our life, that through that unity with soul, and see that soul is unchangeable, that it gives to us certainly that quality for our work, for our job, for whatever we do, a sense of persistency, that we don't give in, of determination to do something and do it, of steadfastness, of steadiness, of decisiveness. All that comes up, of sticking to our guns, of abiding in it, to be firm, to be constant, to be definite, to be unwavering, to be unswerving, to be unshakable. Can you hear the tone of soul? It's all soul. And it's all those wonderful qualities which we need, or we will never make the grade. The counterfeit of it is naturally also in the text. And it shows us where we are actually, and we can, each one can ask, well, am I that way? Am I expressing these counterfeit qualities? Like pursuing different routes, see, scattering the fire constantly, once going forward, once going backward, once going this way, once going that way. Is that within us, that we pursue constantly different routes? Or that we diverge from the path and are not sticking to the path, that we have a zigzag course, that we are drifting, just getting along, you know, just doing what comes along the way, nothing more than that, you know, just drifting in life, nothing really of great, tremendous, important, no, just drifting. Or to be at the beck and call for error, see, that's again the counterfeit, vibrating really like a pendulum between sin and the hope for forgiveness, like a pendulum to and fro, that's a counterfeit of the steadfastness of soul. Or faith, if it's mere belief, is as, she says, as a pendulum, swinging between nothing and something, having no fixity. Do we recognize in our character such a thing? That's the question. That's why I like to take out these terms out of the text and have a whole list and then look at it and say, do I see myself in that mirror? Is that what I am? So one begins really to investigate one's own attitude, and then naturally the prayer of honesty says, are you honest enough to see what you are, what you honestly are? And only if we see what we honestly are, there is a chance that we can get rid of the false qualities, of all those false qualities of swaying and swerving and hesitating and faltering and quivering and doubting, to be unsteady in our life, undetermined, undecided, drifting and inconsistent. Are we this way? And we know if we are this way that we are not reflecting God as soul, that we have not found out a unity with soul, because soul is always that which is constant, which is balanced, which does not swing to and fro, which has no pendulum that swings between nothing and something. Yes, that's that.